Hey, good morning, everyone. I just wanted to say that. I'm sure everybody's been telling you that. If you saw anybody on our team and you're visiting with us and everybody's like making a big deal about, good morning, everyone. We just love saying that. We are so excited to have you here and sharing this experience with us. How many know that we're standing in a miracle today? This is, four of you? This is a miracle that God has provided for us. We are so grateful. And when I say that, what I mean is we stepped into this space not knowing. We just were like, hey, we want to plant a church. And October 15th, we launched. And there's not a whole lot of buildings in Liberty Lake to like plant a church. We're thinking maybe the Fieldhouse Pizzeria or, you know, like maybe elementary school or, you know, that type setup, tear down. And we thought, so I talked to Pastor Don of Lakeside, and hey, what about a Sunday night? And everything you read kind of says, hey, if you're going to plant a church, probably don't want to plant on Sunday nights, especially in the winter in North Idaho or Eastern Washington, right? So, you know, we just had a lot of things that were not kind of favorable at the beginning and had no idea that just 18 weeks later, and actually less than that, they would come to us and say, hey, we're leaving, you know, I hope you make it okay, you know, that kind of thing. So we just had to like do some quick scrambling, and we, again, grateful for the relationship with Lakeside as they're merging with a church north of here, and excited about their future, but we were so ecstatic. We said, God, we're not going to wait. Like, their last service in the morning was last week, and then this week, they proceeded to just take all of their stuff, right? That's what you do. Like, hey, we got to take this and that and those speakers and all the lights, and they took it, and it was great, and we kind of came in here and said, okay, we got to put some things together. And so what we call it is a miracle with responsibility. It's a miracle, but we got some responsibility. There's some natural things that, so we think, God, thank you for what you've done, and there's natural responsibilities. And I felt it this week when I came in early for our last week of our prayer time together, and I turned the heaters up here, and I just kind of flipped, and all of a sudden I heard this, you know, they kicked on, and all of a sudden I felt something in me kind of go, ooh, that's on us. I literally felt, oh, maybe we ought to turn that down, or, you know, so. So it's like, okay, so there's some things that have happened in the sense of equipment that they've taken. You notice, you may have wondered, wow, it seems louder this week, because we've had to literally borrow some speakers and that just to, and so if it's like shooting right at you, we have some things on order. We're going to hang them back up again and that type of thing. And we've had to replace a lot of. I was watching Stephen and Jamara passing the mic back and forth, and I was standing up here going to Colton, why are they passing the microphone back and forth? He said, we don't have any more microphones. Okay, so we've ordered a couple of microphones. Anyways, so just some things that we get to do, opportunities. And so, in fact, on your connection card, you don't have to look at it now. One of the areas that we've indicated is, I'd like information concerning the equipment needs for the facility. And so if that kind of just resonates with you, rather than just kind of give it to everybody, we didn't want to do that, especially folks are visiting like, wow, now they want me to buy some equipment? What is it? No, if you're remotely interested in just looking at the list, like what did they take and what that was theirs, I want to just kind of know what that is. We had a guy call me, and here's what prompted this. I had a guy call me and say, hey, I want to, let me know what you guys might need. And so I sent a text back. I said, oh, okay, I'll send you. He said, send me the list. So I sent him a list of things, and he picked the soundboard. This guy bought, because they took the soundboard, right? So we had to get a little temporary one, but so he said, I want to get the soundboard. I said, you kidding? I said, oh my goodness, thank you so much. You know, texting back. I called him. I said, thanks for doing that. I said, thanks for your partnership, right? That's what every great, you know, lead pastor should say, right? Thank you for your partnership. He said, no, Gary, no. He said, it's not a partnership, it's a calling. It's a calling. So I was just grateful for that, and it just prompted me. So here's the deal. You check that box, all we'll do is just send you a list, and it's just like it's like a wedding, what do you call that, registry? You know, like, we're going to send you our registry, and you don't have to go get it, or just indicate, hey, yeah, put me down for whatever. The chairs that we're sitting in, thank the Lord, Lakeside said, hey, we'll let you keep those for a couple months. I said, thank you. You know, otherwise we would have sent you a text saying, BYOC, bring your own chair. So we didn't have to do that. So we're grateful, and so it's a miracle with responsibility, and that's okay. We're okay with that. And it's a miracle with responsibility on the spiritual side. And here's what we feel. And I just felt this overwhelming sense that God was giving us a door to walk through. And that's what we've done. This whole journey has been God opened a door and we just stepped through. God opens another door and we step through. And we're just following the wind of His Spirit. I mean, you know, that's an awesome place to live. Sometimes it gets a little scary, right? But that's called the journey of faith. And we're just stepping through it. And now, for some reason, God felt like, hey, Legacy Church, I'm going to entrust you with pole position in a 14,000 square foot facility for a church that 18 weeks old. And I think God is big enough to meet every possible need that comes along with that. Here's what I believe has to happen. I believe we need to take the heart of a Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament who was ready to go and fight a battle, and he was scared. The Bible literally said, and Jehoshaphat feared because the enemy was so daunting and large and massive. And the Bible says that Jehaziel, this prophet, gave him a prophecy, and he said these words, the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not, Gary, don't you dare for a minute think this battle is yours. It's not yours. This is God's. And my wife has said this, I've heard her say this over the years, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. And it's not a flippant statement, but we just believe God's going to take care of all of our needs. But here's the point. That we believe that God's called us to leverage this facility to reach this community. Arrows out. God, you must have something in mind. So every part of that, we don't want to see this building sit empty Monday through Saturday for us to have church on Sunday. God wants to do something great. And so we're just believing that. We're gonna approach this as God, this is yours. And so here's what I'd like us to do. If I could just impose on you to stand one more time, I'd like us to pray. I'd like us to just take this moment and say, Jesus, see our hearts right now. Let's pray together. Jesus, we stand before you, Lord, in this moment. And God, we recognize that this is your doing. This is something that you are up to, God. And so we, with confidence and we, with boldness, step before through this door. And God, we pray that you would find us faithful. That this isn't Gary and Patty's church, and we're going to try to, and with the leadership, and they're going to. No, this is us together. Lord, those that would choose to walk and run with Legacy, God, it's us becoming the church collectively, God, and taking on and shouldering the responsibility of reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, sending the message of hope into not only this city, but in this region, Lord, and then ultimately around the world. That's what we believe you've called us to. And so, God, we just stand as Jehoshaphat did when he called the people together before going to battle. He called all of them together, and your word says, and even the little ones were there. And God, they prayed together, and they wept in your presence, and they worshiped you, and they put the worshipers out in front. And they, as they began to march into that daunting battle where they were seriously outnumbered, God, they could already see evidence that you had gone before them. Lord, do that, I pray. Do that for Legacy. Do that for each life. And do that for this city and this region, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for joining us in that prayer. I am thinking about this series. We're in the middle of a series. We just kind of kept rolling right into it and right through it. We're in this Reset series. And Reset is a good time. First of the year is a good time to reset some things. How many of you have done that already? How many of you have sat, like, had the family meeting, and here's what we're going to do different this year? Anybody? You need to have that meeting, okay? So maybe this message today will kind of prompt some things. There's things that Patty and I, we've been so, you know, doing the ministry and going at it and trying to get stuff done that we've missed a few things. And so I'm going to be a little bit vulnerable today in some of that, what I'm talking about. And so I was thinking about God is a God who pursues. God is a God who is pursuing. He always has. when you look at the Old Testament, what you find is you find a God who just loves relationship with his creation. I love that. In fact, when you look at Adam and Eve in the garden, and after Adam committed the original, you remember that Adam's original sin, what was his original response? Anybody know? His original response was shame and to hide, and that's that kind of same response that's been what we do throughout history. When we miss the mark, we tend to hide in shame. We tend to cover ourselves. So they kind of put together a few fig leaves and they hid. And the question that God asks, and it's really the first question of the Bible, is so indicative of a pursuing God, capital G. And the question was this: where are you? Right? Where are you? Where are you? And God is still asking that question today. It's indicative of a God who desires relationship, who's reestablishing relationship. And in account after account after account in the Old Testament, we see God trying to just be close to his creation. We see him leading the people of Israel out of Egypt, leading them with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God saying, I'm going to just go before you. I love that. We see him giving the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments weren't to restrict them and say, now I got you. It was just to establish peace and some order in their lives to guide them. Priests to prepare offerings for sacrifice. He parted waters, fought battles, defeated walled cities. God said, I'm going to go before you. I'm going to go with you. And I'm glad that we serve a God who is the same yesterday and today and forever. Anybody glad about that? We have to get this picture in our mind of a pursuing God before we even talk about this next reset that I want to bring and introduce today. See, we miss the mark. Mankind missed the mark, which is a fancy way of saying man sinned, and our sin separates us from a holy God. And so what God did to make it possible for us to step into right relationship with him, sent his son to die on a cross for us. And how many love that beautiful cross that we have up there? Yeah. And sent him to die on a cross for our sin. And a price had to be paid, a sacrifice had to be made, and Jesus went to the cross to pay it. Look at Romans 6, 5 through 11 with me. It says this: since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we also will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died, verse 10, he died once for all, once, to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also, get this, if you underline in your Bible or remember this, grab this, highlight in your phone if you use your phone app for your Bible. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. So we need to know that there's a God in heaven who loves you, and he's pursuing you. He always has, and he always will. This is not a coincidence. He desires to have a personal relationship with you and with me. And like Adam, he's asking the question today, where are you? Where are you? Why are you hiding? Why are you running? Why are you? All I want is just relationship with you. There's a quote that's thrown around very, very often. You'll hear it. We are all broken in a variety of ways and to varying degrees. All of us. There's not one of us in this room. We're all broken in a variety of ways and to varying degrees. And God just says, I want relationship with you. I'm for you. I'm for you. And God wants to pour out his favor over our lives. And so, again, to really understand this next reset, it's important to grasp in our hearts, not just here, but here, that God is for you. God is for me. So would you just do this with me? Repeat these words after me, if you don't mind, out loud. If you're uncomfortable repeating out loud, then you don't have to. But in your heart, do it. Say these words: God is for me. Would you just say that? God is for me.
Say it again. God is for me. See, we can believe that up here, but just getting that into our hearts, sometimes we have difficulty. See, if we don't believe that, then we start talking about resetting and we start talking about spiritual priorities. See, if we don't believe that God is for me, then all it becomes then is just religion, right? All it becomes is a list of do's and don'ts and yeah, I get that. All it becomes is performance. You know, you got to jump through hoops to somehow appease God and want to believe. No, God is for me. And all of these pursuits are a way for me to grow in relationship with Him. So we get to reset some things and grow in some things. God is interested in relationship. So what should our answer be then? If God is always pursuing me, it's just natural then that we can pursue God, right? We're just setting the table here for a moment. Then we have the permission to pursue. Permission to pursue? Yes, permission to pursue God and go after Him. David modeled this. Look at Psalm 63:1. It says, "O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water." He pursued God. He ran after God. Read the Psalms. All you find is statements like Psalm 53, "Don't cast me away from your presence. God, I want to be near you." Psalm 63, "My soul follows hard after you." Psalm 42, "As the deer longs for streams of water, so my soul, O God, pants, longs for you." Pursue God. He wants that kind of that reciprocal relationship. It's not one-sided. It's back and forth together. So this morning, I want us, in these few moments we have together, to talk about resetting spiritual priorities and what that looks like. They differ. Spiritual priorities differ from other priorities. Because here it is. Until my spiritual priorities supersede or take primary place above everything, they just become one in the list, right? So I have my physical priorities, right? How many of you got your new gym membership? Nobody? Okay. Your work priorities, right? We have our work priorities. We have our familial priorities, our family priorities. We have our recreational priorities, and we have recreational priorities when you live in the inland Northwest. We got a lot of recreational priorities. We're waiting for that sun, that spring, the first evidence of spring. I can't wait to see those blossoms because it tells me it's time to get the old pontoon ready. We have recreational priorities. We have, and then there's spiritual priorities. But here's what I'm proposing to us today, that our spiritual priorities will shape all the other priorities. That our spiritual priorities ought to be the leading component that brings shape and order and priority to the other priorities in our lives. For example, I was thinking of it was the summer of 1984. Let me just take you there for a moment. Summer of 1984, July 28th to be exact. I married the wife of my youth. It was an awesome, awesome day. And I was we were both juniors. It was a summer before our senior year in Bible school together. And I played on the college basketball team. And so we went on we were college students, so it wasn't much of a honeymoon, but we went camping. And so then we came back, drove back to our town, and I remember just one of the first kind of weeks back in, kind of setting our life and getting back to work and getting ready for school. And I remember one evening I was lacing up my high tops, getting ready to go play some b-ball with the fellas, you know, and she came along and said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm gonna go play some b-ball with the fellas," right? That's what we do, right? The guys are calling, and then we get to make a big gulp run after that, and we just hang out together. It's what we do. She said, "Oh, I have dinner plans tonight for us." Well, I could just catch something on. Then after that, I was hoping we could, and then maybe. Anybody remember that little tension? You're like, oh. See, so what was going on there is my commitment to Patty brought shape, and I learned this quickly, brought shape to the other priorities. In fact, she helped me identify what really was a priority or not. That's not. So how do I reset my priorities for 2018? We've got to get a plan, right? And then we got to give it voice. So we're going to talk a little bit just quickly about this. Got to get a plan, and we got to give it voice. So if you got plans to lose some weight and low carbs and all that, I know when I give those things voice in my home, some of you may have heard me say this, when I say, Patty, I'm going off sugar for a month, those words come out, and I wish I could get them back, because she takes me to the bank on it. Sugar's flying out of the house. Okay, no more desserts, no more. Okay. So we got to get a plan, and then we got to give it voice. So I'm hoping today we can give some of these things voice to get accountability. How do I reset my spiritual priority? Number one, write this down. Give up your own way. We got to give up our own way. In fact, maybe a language that we're more familiar with in this particular passage is deny yourself. Look at Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. It says this, then Jesus said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Another word for that is deny yourself. Give up your own way. Give up your own way. Sorry, Frank Sinatra. Remember, I did it my way. No, this is different. This isn't going to work in this context. Deny yourself. Give up your own way. I really did. I wanted to find, I'm thinking this is our first morning service. We're giving out Krispy Kremes. This is going to be a fun day. I don't know if I want to, that sounds kind of hard. Give up your own way. And you're like, we put our donut down and like, I don't want to do that. But there's not a softer, there's not a nicer way to put it. In fact, if you want to obey Jesus, if you want to follow him, if you want to walk in his truth, you want to experience his blessing, we have to give up our own way. It's not a suggestion. You don't hear Jesus saying, hey, I know it's kind of hard doing the follower thing and wondering if like on most days, no, that's not what it says. You have to give up your own way, Gary Moreno, infers that there's a pathway that I am on or that I was on. If you give up your own way, there's a pathway that I was on and now I'm choosing another path because there's someone who has a better sense of direction than I do. Anybody with me? I give up my own way because there's someone who has a better sense of direction than I do, a better perspective, a better map. I hate to even mention this. I wrote it down, so I've got to say it. After 33 years of marriage, I have to say this. I have to admit that my wife has a better sense of direction when we're out in a new city or a new town than I do. Wow, that was hard to say. I fight it, I argue it, I resist it. Sometimes I'm right, and when I am, I'm happy about it. But most of the time, she says, no, we're heading, you need to go back the other way. I say, oh, okay. Because I'm a Siri guy, right? I'm a Siri. I say, Siri, take me to Fieldhouse Pizza, right? And I say that, and I am oblivious what's going on, what streets I pass. And I just get there, so I don't remember how to get back. So we go this way. No, you got to go this way. Don't you? What were you doing when you were driving here? I don't know. Somebody has a better, stronger sense of direction than I do. In fact, Proverbs 14:12 says there's a path before each person that seems right, but in the end, it leads to death. That seems right. Some of us, we have walked down a path. I know I have. We walked down a path and it seems right and it seemed like the way to go. But in this passage, he's talking about it's like a shortcut to success or something taken by those who are impatient of advice or hard work or of moral scruples. I'm just doing this my way. This is my turn. This is my time. Just by virtue of brokenness, we take pathways that are not God-honoring. But because Jesus was always on mission means this. Here's what it means. That when I am fully engaged in giving up my own way, that's what it says, giving up. If you want to follow me, you got to give up your own way. That I get on the pathway of Jesus. And when I'm on the pathway of Jesus, I can engage on the mission with Jesus to reach the lost, the lonely, and the hurting. The least, the lonely, and the lost. When I give up my own way, I better position myself to be on mission with Jesus. To run into people that might need to hear his message. Sometimes my way doesn't give me opportunity to do that. See, I tend to live inward. I told you I was going to be a little bit vulnerable at the beginning. And I tend to live inward focus. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many are selfish? We have selfish tendencies. I saw this coming early in my life, and specifically in my junior year of high school, when I saw one day my brother come into, I have a brother who's 20 months older than me. I had a good job, he didn't. And one day I saw him come into youth group, into church, and he was wearing my shirt. I said, "What are you doing wearing my shirt?" You'd have the sidebar conversation, "Why are you wearing my shirt, man?" I said, "Well, I couldn't have anything else to wear." "Okay, you need to ask me." So it happened over and over and over. So you know what I did? I may be the only brother in history ever did this. I put locks on my drawers. I installed locks on my, like, first DIY in junior year in high school. I was installing locks in my drawers. I'll teach him. But locks in my drawers. You know, he's referenced that. He's going to probably hear this message. My brother's referenced that since that day. He says, you're acting right now. You're acting like you got the locks on your drawers still, like 30 years later. We're arrows in. We're always seemingly kind of looking for our selfish nature kicks in. God's calling us to give up our own way. And why this is important, he says, you need to give up your own way. And then he says, almost hand in glove, you need to give up your own way. And then secondly, write this down, you need to carry your cross. So you're giving up your own way. So you say, "Okay, God, I'm not going to go that way." Which, by the way, is a great definition for the word repent. The word repent is like we see that, like the guy, you know, with the sign, "Repent or perish." You know what that word means. When I say I repent, is I'm not going to go my way anymore. I'm not going to go in the way that seems right for me anymore. I'm going to turn 180. Is that right? 180. And I'm going to think of my skateboard days. At 180, I'm going to turn back, and I'm going to walk the opposite, complete opposite way. Repent, to turn from, to leave my own way. I'm going to take up my cross, and I'm going to follow him. The cross becomes the plumb line. So let me read the passage, the scripture again. If any of you wants to be a follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. See, Jesus, his life provides the measuring stick. It says, though he was God, Psalm 2, 6 and 8, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, this is Jesus, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. That was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords stepped out of eternity and into time on mission so that Gary Paul Moreno and everyone in this room could find relationship with him and his Father. So if God could do that, see, Jesus is not going to call us to something that he isn't going to lead the way in and by doing himself. He's not gonna have us put expectation on us that he wasn't willing to walk through himself. So he says, I need you to follow. You want to follow me? I need you to give up your own way, and I need you to take up your cross and follow me. He fulfilled the purpose for which he came. He came to die. He came to conquer death. Again, hand in glove. Give up your way. Take up my way. Take up the cross. Now we get to do the same. We get to die to self. We get to make decisions. Our men's group yesterday, we were talking about this. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to take up your cross? And we came up with a definition of like this. It sounds like this: to make decisions against yourself. Because I lived my whole life. I think my son was telling me about my grandson. They gave him a donut and he shoved that first donut and shoved it in his mouth and ate it. So I just wanted to bless him with a donut. He shoved it in as fast as he could and he turned back to him and said, "I need another one." It's like, wow. He didn't have to learn that. It's just built in. It comes with the equipment. We are selfish by nature. Make decisions against yourself means, in one sense, it means delayed gratification. In another sense, it means I don't want to walk down that path anymore, and I don't even want to do anything. So I'm going to make decisions. I'm going to set up accountability. I'm going to set up things in my life to where I'm not going to go that way anymore. I'm going to verbalize some things to my wife. I'm going to verbalize some things to my friends, and I'm going to begin to move down a path that glorifies God and brings him honor. I'm going to make decisions against myself. That's like if Stephen has a propensity to chips and salsa every night and all the sweets and a decision against himself would mean to say, Jamara, I need you to take all of that out of the house. That's a decision that we make, and we see the words coming out, but we don't even want that to be an issue anymore. Choose to follow the path. Again, releasing my way and picking up the cross and following Jesus. Letting him shape our priorities and shape our decisions. I love John Piper gives a definition of what it means to take up our cross. He says, when Jesus said that the way to follow him was to take up your cross, he meant at least this: be willing, without murmuring or God criticism or cowardice, be willing to be opposed, to be shamed, to suffer, and to die, all for your allegiance to him. Or to go to the heart of the matter, to take up your cross meant, get this, to treasure Jesus more than we treasure human approval, honor, comfort, and life. Our suffering is not a tribute to Jesus unless we endure it before, because we cherish Jesus. Taking up our cross means Jesus has become more precious to us than approval, honor, comfort, and life. Mark Batterson says, when did we start believing that God wants to send us to safe places to do easy things? That faithfulness is holding the fort. That playing it safe is safe. Jesus didn't die to keep us safe. He died to make us dangerous. The will of God is not an insurance plan. It's a daring plan. Faithfulness is not holding the fort. It's storming the gates of hell. The complete surrender of your life to the cause of Christ isn't radical. Oh, that's for the radical people. He's saying, no, it's normal. So to leave our own ways, you know, I'm going to give up my own way and I'm going to take up the cross. That's just normal for those who want to follow Jesus. A century ago, stories told of a band of brave souls became known as one-way missionaries. They purchased single tickets to the mission field without the return half, and instead of suitcases, they packed their few earthly belongings into coffins. As they sailed out of port, they waved goodbye to everyone they loved, everything they knew, and they knew they'd never return home. A.W. Milne was one of those missionaries. He set sail for the New Hebrides in the South Pacific, knowing full well that the headhunters who lived there had martyred every missionary before him. His coffin was packed. Oh, I'm sorry. Milne did not fear for his life because he had already, get this, Milne did not fear for his life because he had already died to himself. See, people that make this decision, give up, to take up, have already made that decision. His coffin was packed. For 35 years, he lived among that tribe and loved them. And when he died, tribe members buried him in the middle of their village and inscribed this epitaph on his tombstone. When he came, there was no light. And when he left, there was no darkness. As we prepare to close our time together this morning, I that line brought me to Legacy Church, brought me to this moment. My prayer is that the people in the sense of this community and this region would be that when that church came, there was no light, or at least there was maybe less light than was possible. But when they left, there was no darkness. It's just another way of saying, you know, I heard somebody say once, you know, we want to be the kind of church that says, if we were gone, would this community even miss us? Would this community even know we left? To bring the light and the life of Jesus to our community. To give up our path and to take up his cross. To give up, to take up, and last is this, to step up. To step up. To walk it out. Not only talk the talk, but what? Walk the walk. To put God first. That in 2018, as I'm resetting my spiritual priorities, here it is. God, help me to give up my own path. Help me to just reassess the path that I'm on. And if it's a path that I just think is right and it's convenient for me, then God, help me to get on your path. And then, Lord, help me to take up your cross. Help me to die to some things in my life, God, that are impairing my vision in my walk with you and obstructing my vision. And this last part, step up, says this. Help me to walk it out. Help me to be consistent this year. That my life, my year, and the controls of 2018, I want to hand over to Jesus. I want you to be Lord of my life. Here's a good way to put God first in 2018. You may want to write this down. I think they'll come up on the 2018. How to walk this out. I'm going to challenge you with this. I'm going to challenge you with this, and I'm going to tell you right up front. I don't have all this nailed down, but I think it's a good measuring rod for us. Here it is. Number one, give God the first of my year. Give God the first of my year. I always try to do this. That's why we had 21 days of prayer, 21 days of fasting. We will always have that as a church. We'll probably do another one in the fall. It's kind of a new ministry season. We had 21 days because we just were wanting to say as Legacy Church, God, we want to give you. We want to give you the first of our year. We want to deny ourselves. We will incorporate more intentional fasting with that time of prayer because, God, we just believe. We believe to set the course for this year, we need to just give you the first of it. So whatever that looks like for you, it's not too late. I haven't done that yet. Well, it's only January 28th. We still got a whole year ahead of us. Let's give him the first of our year. Maybe there's a couple days. You say, you know what? I'm just going to take some time this week. I'm just give God these days and set the course. What about giving God the first of my month? First of my month. Sitting down, I want to do this with Patty. We haven't done this yet. The first of my month, that the first of every month, to sit down and look over our plans for that month. Plans for that month, and just be sure, where is God in the center of this month? Where are we carving time for Jesus to be central? What are we doing together in ministry? And we, of course, thank God we get to do this together, and we love this. We're like two kids in a candy store at home. We're like, oh my gosh, see who showed up? And say, wow. It's exciting. And there are other conversations that we have too, like, oh no. But just specifically relates to us and our planning, what we're doing together and our family time and how we're spending those days. And then doing that with our finances as well. First of the month. God, how can we leverage our giving? Patty has a message on being generous in this year of 2000, resetting our kind of generosity barometer. Go back and listen to it on the podcast or on our website. It's a great message. Setting the first of the month is priority. And I will tell you, I failed miserably just this weekend. Patty, we'd set a time aside to go to dinner together and catch a show and then spend the night literally in a hotel together. It was my Christmas gift. And I said, oh no, I've got something the next day. Failed to plan. So I had to think quick on my feet, right? Not good. Give God the first of my month. What about first of my week? What if we gave Jesus the first day of the week? And you're doing this today, so I'm just preaching to the choir. It's the first day of the week. Jesus, it's yours. We're just going to worship you. We're going to create this day to be a holy day set apart for you. We're going to worship together with our faith community, and then we're going to go and just spend time as a family, have a great meal together, and just rest. We're just going to rest. And then lastly, the first of my day. God, the first thoughts that come to my mind, my quiet time with you, if it's just a prayer in the morning or a worship song as I'm getting ready or in the shower or whatever, just a worship song that just is filling the house. I'm going to give you the first of my day. The Westminster Shorter Catechism says this: the chief end of man is to love God and to enjoy him forever. To love God and enjoy him forever. That's what God wants. He wants us to enjoy him in relationship with him. Would you bow your heads with me? I want to pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. God, we want you to be the priority of our lives. Not as religious duty, but as relationship, out of relationship. Lord, we miss the mark. And so today I pray that you would help us to draw our eyes and our hearts and our priorities, help us draw to you. Help us to make decisions against ourselves, Lord, that would just align us to you this year. With heads bowed, eyes closed, I just want to ask a question this morning, our first morning gathering together. You would say, hey, Gary, would you just include me? Would you just include me in your closing prayer today? I need to reset priorities in my life. Jesus has been kind of one of my priorities, but he hasn't been the priority. He's been one of many things in my life, but he hasn't been the spiritual priority that shapes all of the other priorities. Would you pray for me today? I would like to make him the priority of my life. Just lift your hand up, put it right back down. Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, this year. Amen. Maybe you're here and you would say, you know what, I've been far from God. I haven't been in relationship with him at all. But today I just sense I need to make priority one is just invite Jesus into my heart today. And begin today, this day, the beginning of this year, by inviting him to be a priority of my life. If that's you, lift your hand up. I'm not going to make you stand or come forward or anything. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Anybody else? I want to pray for you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Let's pray this prayer. Would you just, in your heart, just pray these words with me? You don't have to pray it out loud. Just in your heart. Dear Jesus, I want to give you first place in my life. Help me to reset my priorities, to get a plan and then to give voice to that plan. Give myself a little bit of accountability. I want to get on the right pathway and the right trajectory, God, to follow you. I invite you into my heart. I give you first place, first space in my life today. in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If you made that a prayer, take that card out. If you just check that box today, I made a decision to follow Jesus. That's the first time for you. We want to follow. We want to give you some information. We'll give you a book that we have that I think will be a great tool and a great help for you. And then just drop that card. Everybody's going to drop this card, so you're not like going to be the only one. Like, man, if I drop that in, everybody's going to see. Everybody puts this card in, so don't worry about that at all. So thank you for being here. Thanks for praying with us. I'm going to invite our team to come, right? Is that what we do? Oh, I'm supposed to invite the ushers to come forward. Oh, my goodness. Remember, we're 18 weeks old, so we're still kind of, hey, now what? Thank you, Lord. That's right. I remember now. It's all coming back. It's all coming back. Let's pray over our time of giving. Jesus, thank you for Legacy Church. Thank you for what you're doing in this community, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful people that have already jumped in at the front end of this church and said, we're all in, we're going forward, man. We believe in the mission and the vision to rewrite futures for generations to come, to create opportunities for people to encounter Jesus in life-changing ways. Take these gifts, Lord. That's what we desire to do with it, to reach a city and a community for you. We give it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Drop that card in there. Thank you, everyone, for being here today.